Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
So glad that you are joining with us today, whether you're on campus or whether you're online. I believe in these next few minutes that we're together, that the Lord wants to connect his heart with your heart. Wherever you've been walking, would you walk into his presence? Would you allow your mind and your heart and your soul and all of who you are to be present in these moments? I know there's all kinds of other things probably happening in your life, and they are in mine, but man, we've crossed paths for a few moments, and I think that the Lord wants to speak to you today and connect with you today and help you remember some things today about who he is and where he's been. And he knows where you've been, and he loves you, and he is for you, and he wants to meet with you in these moments together. And we're going to talk about what he's been doing for so many years that he is inviting us to remember. So if you have your Bible, I invite you to open it with me to two different places. Normally, I invite you to open your Bible to one place, but today I think you're going to be doubly blessed if you open it to two places, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, it's toward the front of your Bible, open to Exodus chapters 12 and 13. Exodus 12 and 13, okay, that's one spot. And then in the New Testament, if you would open over to Luke's Gospel, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. So Exodus 12 and 13, and then Luke 22. As we prepare our hearts this morning for communion, as you saw in that little video, also known as the Lord's Supper. And for those who maybe took some old languages in school, like anybody in here have Latin? Anybody take Latin? I had to take a couple of years of Latin. I use that every day of my life, as I'm sure you do. It's also known as the Eucharist. Eucharist translates Thanksgiving, a season that we are headed toward. Eucharist. Or as my favorite theologian has identified it or called it, the Jesus meal. His name is N.T. Wright. He just refers to this as the Jesus meal. I want us to look this morning before we take the bread, before we take the cup together, at the story behind the meal we remember. Let's take some time together to remember why we are going to do what we're going to do in eating a piece of bread and drinking some juice from a cup. In doing that, we're going to actually be doing what God tells us to do, not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, and it's to remember. Would you say that word remember with me? Remember. Remember. You're going, well, remember what? What is it that I'm supposed to remember? We're remembering the greatest story ever told that's still being told, and that is actually leading somewhere. It's leading to this grand conclusion that's represented in this very simple meal that we're going to partake of in a few minutes. This simple, this sacred meal is one that that brings the significance of what God has done. It's been written about in the past, and the hope of what God is continuing to do, the story that he's continuing to write, and these promises that he is going to fulfill in the future. And he's going to join the significance of the past and the hope of the future together in this present moment that we're going to get to experience. We're going to experience it together. You and me coming around a table to experience a sacred meal, the meal we remember. And in those moments, while we're together, God desires to meet you. He desires to connect his heart with your heart in this chapter of your life, in this sentence of your story right now. And God invites every single person who has a covenant relationship with him through his son Jesus. He invites you to the table today to eat and to drink deeply. Not only of the elements of the bread and the cup, though certainly that, but also he wants to give you some things this morning. What kind of things? I don't go trick-or-treating until tonight. No tricks here, nothing but treats, good treats, really, really good things from God. Things like perspective. Who could use some of that in their life? A little perspective, maybe some encouragement, maybe some hope, courage, grace, mercy to help us in our time of need. How about some peace? Maybe your peace was shattered yesterday because your team lost. My team won. Put yesterday aside. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. He invites us to right now. And what he invites you to do and invites me to do is to remember. Would you say that word again? Remember. In just a moment, I want us to remember a part of a story of a man named Moses. In this particular part of Moses' story, he's been in this land called Midian with responsibilities of tending sheep and being a family man. He would have been in this place for about 40 years of his life. And during this particular season or chapter in Moses' life, God's been preparing Moses for something that he wasn't even expecting. He's actually been preparing him for four decades, also known as a generation. Out in this desert, as God's getting Moses ready for this next chapter, an ending chapter that's going to be written, and then it's going to be told for generations to come. And so in a moment, we're going to pick this story back up in Exodus chapter 13, where Moses, at this point in his life, is actually an 80-year-old man. But before we get to the Old Testament part of the story, I want you to be able to hear it through the lens of a story found in the New Testament. So look with me at something that is said in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 22, before we head back to the start of this other great story. In Luke 22, beginning in verse 1, it says this: "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priest and the scribes were seeking how to put Jesus to death, for they feared the people." Skip down to verses 7 and 8 with me. "Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it.'" Skip down to verse 13. And look what it says of Peter and John. "And they prepared the Passover." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wow. So the disciples of Jesus, they prepared the Passover. This Passover meal, which we saw in verse 1, is also known by another name. Remember that name? The feast of what kind of bread? The feast of unleavened bread. Just to give you a little bit of perspective, this feast had been going on and had been eaten and had been remembered every single year by the people of God for 1,400 years. This was a meal that had been remembered. It had been eaten. It had been shared. It had been done the exact same way, where the exact same things were said. The same stories were told every single year, at the same time of year, in the same fashion, for over 1,400 years. I mean, some meals are just tradition, right? This one had a long tail of tradition. I mean, to me, when I think about a traditional meal, I think about a meal that's coming up next month, the meal of Thanksgiving. That meal, if you're doing it right, is always the same. If you're not doing it right, always the same, then you're doing it wrong, okay? It's the same thing every year in the same way, at the same time, and you have the same stories that get told every single year, and you've got the same routine, and it's always been done that way, and it's going to be done that way this coming year and the next year. Or if it's not done the same way, maybe you just got married and you're like going, hey, this is a little different. That's not how you do it. You're supposed to do it this way, and now we're doing it this way. What are you doing it wrong? No, they're not doing it wrong. You're just getting it broadened a little bit here, and you learn that, man, now you have double the fun. And it's really, really good. I'm so grateful for my in-laws because they do it right. And my Mama Ree can cook like crazy, and it's so good. And she cooks a whole lot like my mom cooks and my grandmother and my wife cook. I mean, it's glorious. It's heaven on earth. It's so, 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 so good. I mean, Thanksgiving is the perfect holiday for me because it includes three very important ingredients. It includes family, it includes food, and it includes football. Yes, got that right. Absolutely. It is a great holiday, Thanksgiving. It's not necessarily a great holy day, but it's a great holiday. But the great holy days are Christmas, Easter, but Thanksgiving, man, it is a great, great day. And it needs to be the same. And it will be the same. As much as my vote counts, which I've learned in 19 years of marriage, doesn't count a whole lot. But man, Thanksgiving's good. Whether it's at the Rogers home or whether it's at the Covington's home, it is always, always great. And some of us have had that same Thanksgiving meal all our lives. Well, the people of God who were gathering in Jerusalem here in the Gospel of Luke that we were just reading about a moment ago, they've been celebrating their Passover meal the same way, with the same stories and the same tradition for how many years? 1,400 years. That is a long time to remember something the same way. But if you look back with me in Exodus chapter 13, I want to show you where that 1,400-year run of the same meal being eaten in the same way with the same traditions, where it started out. In Exodus 13, we come back to this story that we were talking about a moment ago of Moses. He's 80 years old at this point in his life, Exodus 13. And just above verse 3 in my Bible, there's a little heading that was added that says something. Is there a heading in your Bible? What does it say? Here's what it says in mine. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, we just read about that in Luke 22:1, that the Feast of Unleavened Bread is also known as what? Passover. Passover. And it says in Exodus 13, verse 3, and following, it says, then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. For by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Skip down to verse 8. You shall tell your son on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And maybe you're sitting there wondering, well, what did the Lord do that allowed Moses and the people of God to come out of Egypt? I mean, what happened in that part of the story? Great questions. You're asking great questions this morning. You see, here's what went down in the first part of this greatest story ever told that would lead to a meal called the Feast of Unleavened Bread or Passover. You're hanging with me. And that meal, it would be eaten every single year for the next how many years? 1,400 years, at the same time, in the same way, with the same great stories being told over and over in a way that they would never be forgotten and that they would always be remembered, all the way up to Luke chapter 22, when Jesus and his disciples are getting ready to celebrate this same Passover meal, or so they thought. And so what Moses is telling the people of Israel that they need to remember, got to remember this, got to tell my kids this, at this meal is this story of how God brought all their people out of Egypt where they were enslaved. And if you were to go back a few chapters from Exodus 13 to Exodus chapter 3, you don't have to turn there. Let me just kind of summarize what's happening here. If you go back to Exodus chapter 3, we see this 80-year-old Moses who's been out in the desert lands of this area called Midian for 40 years. And he's been tending sheep, he's been raising a family, and God starts speaking to Moses in the form of a burning bush. Another great story, Exodus 3. And God tells Moses that he is going to use Moses to go and to free all the people from Israel who've been enslaved in Egypt under the rule and under the reign of this guy known as the Pharaoh. And so God tells Moses to go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh is going to say one word, no. Would you just practice that with me? No. It's great parenting right there. Learn to say no. Learn to say yes, but learn to say no. Pharaoh had no down. Not just once, but over 10 times. There's going to be 10 different times that he's going to come. Moses is going to come to him and say, let my people go. And Pharaoh's going to say, no. Not just once, 10 times. There's going to be 10 plagues and all kinds of this resistance. And it's going to get really, really bad. And God's going, I know already that you don't think you are a very good diplomat. You don't think you're a very good speaker. But Moses, you're just going to have to trust me, God says, because I am writing a great story here. And you, my friend, are about to contribute a great verse, a big verse, into this greatest story that's ever been told. And it's going to go on being told for generations to come. And Moses and God eventually see eye to eye. Moses does end up going back to Egypt. He connects with some of his family members along the way in Exodus chapters 4, 5, and 6. And then you get to Exodus chapter 7. That's when Moses starts going to Pharaoh and he says, hey, Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. And this happens over and over, about 10 times, with Moses saying, hey, Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. Every time Pharaoh says no. So during this Groundhog Day moment, this deja vu moment that happens between Exodus chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, we see God bring these 10 plagues. 10 plagues, one plague for every time that Pharaoh tells Moses no. And we see God do things like turn the water of the Nile River into blood, and then bring a plague of frogs, and then a plague of gnats, and then flies, and then all of the Egyptian livestock dies. And then God brings a plague of boils on the Egyptians, sores on the Egyptians, then a huge hailstorm, and then locusts, and then darkness, and then the 10th plague, the final plague. The plague of death to the firstborn child of all in the land who do not follow some specific instructions. God didn't send it in a TikTok video. He sent Moses and he said, Pharaoh, you need to let my people go. And Pharaoh keeps going, forget it. No. And each time to this point, the people of God are in slavery in Egypt. And each time Moses comes to Pharaoh and he tells him, God says, let my people go, and Pharaoh keeps saying no. And then at the beginning of Exodus chapter 12, there's a title. It's been added in my Bible. Do you have one in your Bible? What does that title say at the beginning of Exodus chapter 12? The Passover. And in this chapter, God starts giving Moses and Moses' brother Aaron some specific instructions about what is going to happen and how they need to begin to help prepare the people of Israel who've been in slavery, because this story is about to turn. And the no that they've been hearing from Pharaoh is about to turn to a yes. And you are going to be allowed by Pharaoh to go. And everybody needs to be ready when I say go. But some bad stuff is going to go down first. And you need to get them ready, God's saying, with instructions about taking lambs and killing them, and putting the blood of the lambs over the doorposts of the homes of the people of God, because that blood of the lamb is going to be the only thing that can save them from the death that is going to occur. The blood of the lamb is what's going to save them. The blood of the lamb is going to be my sign of a covenant relationship that I am remembering with my people, God says. And not only is the blood of the lamb a big part of the night, but then they're going to need to take that lamb and prepare that lamb in a special way with some bread and some herbs and some drink, because this night is also going to be about a simple yet sacred meal. And we pick the story up in Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 11, with God saying this. Exodus 12, 11, God says, in this manner you shall eat it. With your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person will be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I, God says, brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. So God gives Moses and God gives Aaron all these very detailed and kind of strange instructions about this big escape from Egypt known as what? The Exodus. Out of slavery towards freedom and toward a promised land in the future. And then Moses and his brother Aaron, they go and they tell these instructions to the leaders of the people of Israel who are in slavery. And look what it says down in verse 21 and following. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and he said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but he spared our houses.' And the people bowed their heads and they worshiped." And then things unfolded just like God told them that it would. Because what God says always comes true. And at the very end of chapter 12, look what it says in verse 51. "And on that very day, the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts." Which brings us back to where we started in Exodus 13 and in verse 3, as Moses says what? Remember. Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by the strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten." Such an incredible word. Remember. Remember. How are we going to remember? By eating a very simple but sacred meal. Remember. Remember. That is such an interesting word right there. In the Hebrew, the word is zakar, Z-A-K-A-R, zakar. Zakar is a remembering that is done by two parties who are in a covenant relationship. Think of marriage. Two parties in a covenant relationship with each other, as they think back to an anniversary of when this relationship started and what was oathed to one another. Zakar. Remember. Remember. God inviting his people to remember. Remember. Remember, God remembered his people in slavery when they thought he had been out to lunch and totally forgot them. God didn't forget them. He remembered them. He remembered his sovereignty. And God always acts in his sovereign nature, which means God is always going to do just the right thing in just the right way at just the right time for his glory and for our benefit. God remembers his people with whom he is in a covenant relationship with, and God desires his people to remember him too. It's a two-way deal here. And for 1,400 years, the people of God remembered year after year this Passover meal that was done in the same way, at the same time, with the same stories. And it brings us back to where we left off in the New Testament. Turn back over to Luke 22 with me. Luke 22. This is great. Watch this. Luke 22 at verse 14. By the way, in your Bible, is there a heading right before verse 14 that was added? In mine, it says this: the institution of the Lord's Supper. Look at Luke 22. Let's read verses 14 through 19. And when the hour came, he, Jesus, reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this how? In remembrance of me. See it? Remember? Remembrance. God, Jesus, has always been big on remembering. Remembering that covenant relationship, the covenant promises, the vows. And right here, after 1,400 years of remembering the story one way, Jesus, God with skin, turns the story that is now to be remembered in a new way, with a new meaning. Why? Because a new Exodus was about to take place. A new Exodus from the slavery of our sin to a freedom that only is found through a relationship with Jesus, who took care of our sin. And the death angel was about to land on Jesus' shoulders. But Jesus, the Passover lamb, who takes away the sin of the world, by his shed blood that was about to start flowing, it was going to cover the lives of all people, of all places, of all time, who would build their home under the door frame of the cross. And all who would make their home there underneath the cross are underneath the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Then death and the wrath of God would and still does and always will pass over our lives. And that's why Jesus says in Luke 22, verses 19 and 20, do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they have eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. It's the new thing to remember. It's the new twist in the story, friends. It's the new testament, the new covenant, the new chapter in the story that will take us home to this new ending, this new promised land, this new eternity with God who remembers us, never forgets us. He forgets our sin, casts it as far as the east is to the west, remembers it no more, but he will never forget you. Isn't that good news? He remembers you today. He remembers you. The moment you put your faith, hope, and trust in him, he remembers that zakar, that remembering, that covenant relationship. If you've never put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, today could be a memorable day. And after Jesus' death and his burial and his resurrection and his ascension, don't forget that, the New Testament church was formed. And it was then unleashed throughout the earth. You know what had to happen for that to really have its full effect? Persecution. Anybody had a tough year lately? Anybody feeling the effects of society not really amening everything that maybe you've grown up going, wait a minute. This is what I believe. Well, you can't believe that. If you do, you can't say it. When persecution started to arise, that's when the gospel began to spread. What a great time to be alive, right? You go, you're crazy. No, I'm just remembering. I'm just remembering. And do you know what two elements were foundational in the times that the early church, the baby church, every time they would gather for corporate worship from about Acts chapter 2 and the years following, there were two things that always were present: the word and the table. The word and the table. Now, were there other elements that were also part of early church worship? Sure, things like prayer, things like singing, things like giving. Sure, those things were there. They were certainly a part of corporate worship. But those two elements that we see there historically, time and time and time again, are the word and the table. The word and the table. And then when Paul is writing to the church located in Corinth, over in 1 Corinthians, a letter that Paul would later write, Paul's giving the church there instructions about how important it was to remember the Lord's Supper, this Jesus meal, in a way that was holy and sacred and honoring, because they were doing it every time that they got together. And Paul says these amazing words in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, when he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I referenced N.T. Wright a moment ago, and I love what he says about the Lord's Supper, and in particular how 1 Corinthians 11:26 connects. He says, "At every celebration of the Jesus meal, God's past catches up with us again. And God's future comes to meet us once more. The present moment, for as often, somehow holds together the one-off past event, the Lord's death, and the great future when God's world will be remade under Jesus' loving rule until He comes. Past and future come rushing together into the present, pouring an ocean of meaning into the little bottle of now. I encourage you to take a picture of that quote and to think deeply on it throughout this Lord's Day and throughout the days that lead into and through the month of November, the time that we celebrate another meal, Thanksgiving or Eucharist.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.